Today, we are in Queens, New York, birthplace of Ray Romano, John McEnroe, Martin Scorsese, Al Roker, Adrian Brody, Run DMC, and Peter Parker. It's Citi Field, home of the Mets, this week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today we're talking about Citi Field in New York. Last week, we took the D-Line up to the Bronx, but today we're taking the 7-Line to Queens to visit the second of two ballparks in New York. Both ballparks opened the same year, 2009, making that the only time that has ever happened, two ballparks opening in the same city during the same season. It was my second day in the city and my second of two games. My first had been the Yankees and Blue Jays, two random teams that I had no vested interest in. But now it was time to once again go see the Mets take on the Giants. I say once again because I had seen the Mets play the Giants already twice in New York, once in 1993 and then again in 2004, both at Shea Stadium. But this time, it was 2011, and the Giants were coming off their first world championship in over 50 years. They were led by Tim Lincecum, Pablo Sandoval, and Brian Fear the Beard Wilson. It was an afternoon game, a sunny day in May. I got my glove, got my sign, and got on the subway and headed out to Flushing. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'm a big sign guy. I love bringing a sign to the ballpark. I had tons of signs the last day at the Coliseum for the A's final game. But when Brandon Moss was on the A's, I had a Moss is Boss sign. When Yoenis Cespedes was on the A's, I had a sign that said Human Cespedes. And for Marcus Semien, I used to have a sign that said, Get a load of Semien. I also like to be political. When Lou Wolf was thinking of moving the A's to San Jose, I had a real cutting sign that said, Hey, Lou Wolf, if you love San Jose so much, why don't you marry it? I think I saw him tear up as he read it. Now for this game, I wanted something special. It was a big day. It had just been announced that the U.S. had killed Osama bin Laden after almost 10 years of hunting him down. It was a major victory. I wanted to commemorate the moment, as well as my visiting team fandom. So I had a sign with a picture of Osama bin Laden and a picture of Brian Wilson. The bin Laden picture had been crossed out, and under the pictures it said, There's only one beard to fear now. Anyway, getting off the train, I walked out to the front of the ballpark to take as many pictures as I could of the beautiful facade, reminiscent of Ebbets Field, one borough over. I also got a picture with the old home run apple from Shea, which was situated right outside of the new stadium. I entered through the Jackie Robinson Rotunda, admiring all the artwork inside. I think I spent very little time in my seat. I was too busy walking around, checking out different vantage points, exploring, and showing off my sign. People stopped to take pictures with me, and I got a lot of thumbs up from fans on both sides. I tried Shake Shack for the first time in my life, explored the views from all the decks, and met up with a couple of former English students in town from Thailand. I tried explaining baseball to them, until they lost interest, and I tried explaining my sign to them as well. They were polite and nodded like they understood. All in all, a really nice day in the sun. I would definitely go back, especially with the team they have now and some of the upgrades. I believe they have the largest screen of all of baseball. For the moment. Anyway, let's get into more Citi Field information with our local, Russell Rivera.
Citi Field.
So you live on the Upper East Side.
Yes.
And you born and raised in New York, or have you did you move
Yes.
there?
No, I've been here forever.
So been a Mets fan
I
forever?
spent been a Mets fan forever. I spent a few years in college in Boston, but other than that, I've been completely Upper East Side. Oh, not completely Upper East Side, completely New York. I kind of started in Howard Beach, Queens, and people asked me, how do I get to be a Mets fan? I said they were on Channel 9, just like the Rangers and the Knicks, and that, at my formative age, that's the channel they were on. So, and my uncle was a Dodgers fan who took me to the Mets game. So,
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I meet a lot of people who are like, yeah, we're Cubs fans because the Cubs were on WGN when I was growing up, or I'm a Braves fan because they were always on TBS. So,
yeah,
well,
no,
that's cool.
this was all local television.
Yeah,
So,
right, of course.
at least the road games were on Channel 9. All the home games, they were on Sports Channel. They had enough cable back then.
Yeah. So you also, I'm guessing, went to Shea back before City Field was built. Were you ready for a new stadium when City Field was built, or did you like going to Shea?
I'm an old school guy, so it was our dump. I certainly remember standing at the front of the Loge level that last Friday night, and definitely shedding a tear, and maybe it was shedding a tear for my youth and my childhood and what I'd always known. But certainly, it was our dump, and just like people in Oakland, I see who Ye's at. Just like people in Oakland feel about that, and I was fortunate enough to get to see that this year.
Cool.
Actually, Dave Forrest is a college roommate of mine.
Oh, fantastic. Cool.
So we saw him, and he met my son, and because my son wants to get into the business.
Eh, who doesn't?
And exactly, no, but
It's nice
the
if you know the GM of one of the 30
it
teams.
helps,
So,
right?
yeah.
Exactly.
So, how many games do you get to go out to a year, you think now?
Probably about 15. I probably went to a few fewer last year than I had gone. But probably about 15 by the time I'm all said and done. Maybe I'm overstating it a little bit, but
Do you have specific places that you like to sit, or do you get different tickets every time you go?
so I my seat I like to sit, first of all, you're right, because it's a great budget option. I like sitting in the corners and field level. Okay. You still have a good view of the game, the way the seats are aligned towards the mound, right? And that's the new thing with the stadiums that work out really well. And so I'm a big fan of those, sitting by the foul poles in Citi Field. I like 129, 130, 131 downstairs on the left field side, and on the right field side, 105, 106. And I'm always caught and not quite sure where to sit in those spots, because there are positive, there's little positives and negatives. 105, right behind, just in foul territory up down the right field line, there's like a little wall there, and there's like literally some seats, four or five seats. And 105 is a very strange section. It's shaped like an hourglass, and so in the middle of that there's this little wall, right? And they have an ad there and all of that. But if you're like on the wall side in front and the lower half of the hourglass, you could literally just stand against the wall and watch the game. I just love that viewpoint. And so from that perspective, that's just my fun. The problem with that is you don't see the right field scoreboard above the Coca-Cola corner, or Pepsi porch, as they used to call it, whoever's sponsoring it this year. It is so you don't see that right field scoreboard from down there, that you can't see. So I end up more often going towards 129, 130, 131. It's kind of like sitting down the left field line a little bit, like at Pac Bell, or I still call, that's
Right.
gone through so many names, which is where I sat this year when I went, and I was just like, yeah, this feels like that. It was great. It felt like that,
Are there any places? It was cool that you I like that you I like that you mentioned at those seats that, the drawback is that you can't see the right field scoreboard. Are there any other places in Citi Field that you have to worry about? Like, are there any, do you know if there's any places where you can't see the outfield, or any obstructed views, or a bad place where you won't be able to see the scoreboard? What are some places to avoid? Do you know of any?
Well, yeah, no, certainly in terms of not seeing the scoreboards, anything in right field. So that section's like 101 to 104, maybe even 105, 106. You're not definitely not going to see the right field scoreboards because you have those are above the corner that are above you. There are definitely some places where you might even have some trouble seeing the main center field scoreboard, that monstrosity that Steve Cohen put in before last year. But what they do have for that is they have a smaller version in the right field corner for those seats where you can't see it. You know, whatever's on that board, that's okay. I mean, but those places definitely exist. I think a lot of people have started to like the, you know, as far as like what else you can't see, you know, that scoreboard in center field is just so large, right? I mean, everybody knows it's monstrous. You know, and
it kind of sounds like you have mixed feelings about that. What do you think about that? You know, that scoreboard that got put in.
Again, I'm an old school guy, like, right? I'm stuck in Diamond Division from Shea, you know. You know, like, I don't, you know, as much as I'm a math and numbers guy about the game, like the fact that they've stopped putting up batting averages and are now putting up OPSs for players, I'm just like, really? You know, like for the casual fan, like, yeah. It, you know, for the casual fan, don't make it so complicated for them to get to know it. Like, you know, okay, great. I spend half my day in Baseball Reference and that's not what I do for a living. And, you know, I get that. But, you know, my wife's an intense fan and she doesn't really care for that. So, you know, it's kind of strikes me as being like a little too much, but that's the information rather than the board itself. You know, I think I found recently another Facebook group, just like I found our group, about vintage scoreboards. And I'm like, okay, these are nice, but I guess they're better now. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So it's like, there's always mixed feelings.
So when I think of City Field, the first thing that comes to mind is the rotunda and the outside that reminds me of Ebbets Field. So what else should people know about City Field in terms of where they might want to visit while they're in the ballpark? Maybe that's before the game. Maybe that's like in the third or fourth inning when they're walking around the stadium. Where are some good places that they should know about before they come into the ballpark?
Well, if you're coming with kids, comparing to the ballpark across town, it's much better for kids. They've made it a little more restrictive now because they do a height requirement rather than an age requirement. But they do have a little center field area with the wiffle ball field for the kids. They have a batting cage that anybody can use. I mean, you only get three or four pitches, but that's all well and good. They used to have a speed pitch out there with a dunk tank, which everybody used and everybody would wait lines on, and that's been taken over kind of by like a sponsorship area. So that's kind of gotten away from it. I'm a big fan of going towards the Piazza Club room, which if you, you know, which covers most seats in the ballpark. But if you end up having to wait out a rain delay or something like that, you know, I've held events where, you know, I'm like, hey, just come here for an hour and a half beforehand and chat. It's a fine place. The pastrami sandwich there is where you get it. They're sold in other places in the ballpark. You want to get it from the one in the Piazza Club. Whoever is the guy, you know, carving it there, that's the guy you want to do it. It's outstanding.
I need to ask you about that
yeah.
club, because stadiums now all have clubs and they all have social spaces. So is the Piazza Club something that you need a special ticket for, or can you go there as a normal fan sitting somewhere else?
So the ballpark has obviously a lot of different club areas. The Piazza Club is I'll call it a lower to mid-range club, right? You can't buy an upper deck outfield seat and get in there. But if you pretty much buy anything in the lower bowl, you're not going to have a hard, you know, that you're going to have access to that. You know, there are some other areas. There's kind of a bar in the left field corner, a social space that you can use. They've now added another kind of like tequila type club on the second deck in the outfield, which really has its own limited access, but it's a ticket that was kind of like a a lower level ticket, you know, but I don't know how you access that now. You know, so that's the kind of thing. I mean, the bridge is always there and people are always hanging out by the bridge and doing things because occasionally the TV cameras are there and they put the DJ there and all of that. It's a way just to get around the ballpark and look at the field as you're trying to get to the you know, either take your kids to the wiffle ball field or whatever. So if you're not in your seat, which, you know, they do a good job of letting you see the game from wherever you are in the ballpark, but the way it's been designed, but, you know.
Cool. So you can hang out on the bridge. That's kind of a place you can stand. You can go to these other little spaces. What if you're into, like, I don't know, history of the Mets or anything like that? Is there anything cool to see around? I know we mentioned the rotunda, but what's in the rotunda? Is there anything to see
in the rotunda? In the rotunda, they have that 42 for Jackie Robinson, right? A lot of the big complaints about the ballpark is they opened it up. It's like, and this was a Fred Wilpon thing, is they created a new ballpark for the Mets. They made it look like Ebbets Field and celebrated the Dodgers. Right, because it was all about Jackie Robinson. Okay, and the 42 is still there, and people still want to take pictures of it. Of course, Jackie Robinson is a hugely important person in terms of major baseball and American society, and he should be celebrated, no doubt. That has kind of been toned down a little bit, but nobody wants to get rid of any of that stuff at this time. So you have that downstairs. Also there, you have big team store. Okay, but they used to have the Mets Hall of Fame there. And that was an attraction in and of itself. You could go, they'd have stuff from 69 and stuff from 86 and stuff from Shea and stuff from no hitters and stuff from, well, there were only two, but, you know, and stuff from, well, I guess they had a lot thrown against them, Jim Bunning and Max Scherzer and whomever else sort of went against the Mets. But the, you know, so they had all of that stuff there. And then before last season, they said, no, we need more retail space. So they've now spread the plaques for all that throughout the ballpark on lower level. And I think now out in center, in that center field area near the kids area, they kind of have some more of that historical stuff all the way out center field around the, you know, the back by the wiffle ball fields. So.
And now, so center field in some ballparks is a like a big entrance gate. Is that kind of feel like the back of the ballpark out there, or can you enter from the back?
Yeah. Your entries are generally from home plate. There are entries down the left field and right field line, which might be closer to some parking areas. Right field is not usually a parking area. Bullpen gate so the bullpen gate's unique and cool on its own. In its own way, it like, if sometimes there are groups that have events out there, so it's kind of like a picnic area, but it's covered, so it's not open, you know, but it's open air, and you can watch the pitchers warm up, which is nice. And I've done that a few times, but a lot of times it's used for events, and the food that, you know, the food for events they serve out there are just hot dogs, soda, cookies, and beer. But you can, if there's no event there, literally, you know, pre-first pitch, stand there and watch, you know, watch the starters get ready to go. And if you happen to go out there in the middle of the game, you know, great, go see a guy warm up in the pen if he's going to come in next inning. So that's interesting in and of itself. I mean, I taking, you know, my kid there several years ago and saying, oh, wait a minute, Jake's warming up out here. You know, let's watch that for a little while since you're a pitcher. So that was kind of, you know, that can be kind of fun, and obviously a lot of all other ballparks have made their bullpens open, but that's where you do it there.
Anyone who's been to New York knows that you just take the 7 line out to Queens, very easy, one subway way to get there, correct? There's no other.
Yeah, it's the only subway that gets there right from Grand Central. Now all Long Island Railroad lines go to a Shea Stadium stop as well. Sorry, I shouldn't say all Long Island Railroad line. My mistake. The Port Washington line on the Long Island Railroad, all trains stop at Shea Stadium, which is also where the tennis center is. So for the U.S. Open, for the tennis fans out there. But That is, so you can, and you can get that from either Penn Station or Grand Central as well. You know, and there are other lines that come from other places in Manhattan that feed, and you can transfer to the 7. The E train, the F train does, you know, does the E train, the F train, the R train all can connect. But of course, looking at the MTA's website can tell you the best way to get there from wherever you might be.
So out there, that's, you know, famously, you've got, like you said, the U.S. Open, the whole Flushing Meadows, the World's Fair site out there. Is that an interesting thing to do? Should someone go out there and spend a little time in that area before the game if they're interested?
Some people enjoy it. I mean, it's not been my thing. A lot of the things from the World's Fair has kind of been run down. I know they've spent a little time thinking about how to rehab that area, but Corona Park is out there. You know, some people do want to walk around. There is the Queens Museum there. I believe there's an ice skating rink. I don't know. It's where I first went ice skating, you know, when I was 8 years old. So, I mean, I know what's going on 40 years later. So that gives you an idea as to, you know, what's there. It's not a ton of stuff. There's a pitch and putt golf course there. Obviously, if it's free to walk around the tennis site when there's no U.S. Open, like there are 11 months out of the year, you can show up and play tennis there. As far as I'm aware. So that, you know, if you are a tennis fan and you want to do that, go for it. You know, you could put some energy into doing that. Terrace on the Park, which really is close, but it is a restaurant, you know, like a up in, you know, up high. I think is a place that people try to go to too, but that is not necessarily in Corona Park.
Do people go back into the city then after games if they're going to go for like to a bar or something after the game?
So there is a bar on site, but they've been changing that all the time. There's a bar called the K Corner that's there. I think you've got to check this website to see if it's open. There had been a bar there that was open pre and post game. And then 2020 happened and they're like, we're making this like a, you know, whatever. So that's been changed around several times in the years since. But the K Corner is there. I don't necessarily think you need a ticket to get in. I have yet to go there because, you know, I've got a 15-year-old. So going into the bar, you know, is not always going to happen. And then, of course, if you're going to a game at 7 o'clock at night, you know, it's 10, you need to get them home. That is a place you can hang pre and post. I would check the Mets website and see how that is on any given game day. But yeah, it's not like the Bronx where you've got Billy's across the street, right? Where people do go post. You know, I think that will change a little as they build the NYCFC stadium across the street. So if you know, you're going in like 27, 28, I think more of those options post game will be available.
When does the casino open?
Is that
a reality yet?
Not yet been approved. There are a lot of sites looking for it. It apparently would take away a lot of the parking in the parking lot now, you know, which I think most of the time probably doesn't affect much.
Is there a tailgate culture at all?
Yes. Absolutely, there's a tailgate culture. There are definitely people who show up 2-3 hours before the game, pull out the grill. I've been a participant in massive tailgates before the 2015 series, before Mets-Yankees games, before the playoffs this year. Yes, there is a tailgate culture. You know, it's not the same as, you know, 200, you know, everybody shows up and brings food for 200, you know, that football type tailgate culture isn't there. But yeah, no, definitely. You can show up and see people with the portable chairs and, you know, a couple cases and sitting around.
All right. So, you know, that brings us to our next topic. We don't have any place to go beforehand, or we're visitors and we can't join a tailgate. So what are some places or what are some
you can always try? People aren't that hard, you know. They're not that rough, you know.
Yeah, offer a few bucks and maybe for a hot dog.
Of course.
Well, let's say I want to save my money and I want to get something inside the stadium. What would you say, City Field is either known for is or is something that you need to try when you go there. The thing I remember hearing was there's a rotunda and a Shake Shack. You know, that's those were the two things I knew at the beginning of when it opened. So
Shake Shack's so played out now, right? It's everywhere. It's not as unique as it was when it opened in 2009. A lot of places find City Field has, and people say that City Field has the best food in all of Major League Baseball. A lot of surveys have that. And the thing what they do is they keep it fresh. So they are constantly changing a lot of the options from year to year. Not everything. Obviously, you have your standard ballpark fare. The pastrami sandwiches have been there and been a staple for a long time. So they're not going anywhere, I don't think. I would definitely suggest if you're a steak person, the Pat LaFrieda steak sandwich is amazing. That usually has a long line. While it's probably twice as much as Shake Shack, it's worth it. You know, a Shake Shack burger, it's definitely worth it. But this year they had, like Ann Burrell had a stand out there with like a chicken parm, like burger type of thing. That rotating stand, which is actually in that like 101, 102 area. They've had fuku sandwiches. Like these are like celebrity chef famous New York local places that are having stands at City Field. And that's one of the key things. This year they had a lobster roll thing. So again, you never know what's going to be there year to year. Usually actually in March, they kind of have an announcement on their website about the unique food options this year. See what else. They had Pig Beach Barbecue this year. Everybody in my family says, we don't need ice cream. We want the Dole Whip. You know, it's like, that's like a Midwestern thing you wouldn't expect to see in New York City, but we're like, we love it. They do have the right field corner kind of has a mini, what they call World's Fair Market with vegan options and sushi and, the helmet nachos, which are unique in and of themselves. So like, you want to try to find a thing, they have it, and they're always bringing new things in. Even within the year, actually, now they have a food truck up in the Coca-Cola corner, and they rotate who goes into that area at least twice a year. So like last fall, it was all like quesadillas and stuff like that.
There are some ballparks where I feel like, it's a good opportunity to save some money and bring in, your own food. That's how I feel the Coliseum. Go to a taco truck beforehand and just bring it in. But it sounds like you want to go hungry and really try some of the options at City Field, that there's fun
They're
things
great.
To try.
And if you are there on a budget, unlike our brethren across town, they do allow you to bring your own food in. At least to this point. I remember going to an opening day doubleheader in 1997. We got rained out on our Saturday opening day doubleheader, went back Sunday, brought 2-foot longs from Subway. And, I was a kid making $7 an hour. So that's really all I could do. But, it was perfect. So you are allowed to bring your own food in. Again, always check the website if you're going, see if they've changed that policy. But yeah, I mean, as much as the food is great there, it ain't cheap. And so certainly if you're on a budget and you want to bring something in with you, they'll let you. Obviously, the beverages are a different challenge. Bring a sealed 20-ounce bottle, but you can buy a water bottle from the person under the Subway. There's actually a food vendor food truck under the Subway on the street on Roosevelt Avenue who's selling inexpensive water, for a couple of bucks as opposed to $6 inside. And then obviously you can refill at water fountains. And, if you want to get your hot dog out there, get your hot dog out there because it's $4 instead of $8 inside.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Is it just water or is it any plastic sealed beverage that you can bring in?
As far as I know, it's water and does not include I would not bring in like
a soda,
fuse or something like that. Yeah. No, I have not. It is not my understanding that you can bring those in.
Okay, cool. That's great. I was going to end with this question, but I've already heard you talking about this, so I'm going to ask it right now, and maybe when I talk to your counterpart over across town, I'll start with this question. But They opened the same year, so what's a better ballpark? I don't mean what's a better team. What's a better building in your opinion?
I think it's what you're there for. I mean, I think Citi Field was opened and designed by Fred Wilpon, you know, obviously partly as homage to the Dodgers from the Rotunda and the Ebbets Field look. But, you know, the idea has been to be a family-friendly ballpark. And that's was evident by the center field activities, the things they do between innings. You know, like, you know, they do, you know, you see the crazy minor league games. Okay, this is kind of major league level, but, you know, so it's not as cheesy, but they do some of them.
Do you have any, I was going to ask you about that later anyway, any fun in between any things? What's your favorite one that they've been doing that they've added? I always like the Simba cam when they have dog day or baby day and they hold the kid up. What's your favorite?
They've done that. I'm so much about the action on the field. Like somebody, it's like we've done kiss cam forever and all of that. And I'm just like, you know, the sing-along used to be Billy Joel all the time. Now they let you vote on it. So that becomes its thing. You know, obviously a lot of it's sponsored. They have the kid who tries to steal third base and bring it back and, you know, ends up being like Dunkin' gift cards. They added a dance team. You know, like, yeah. You know, they're trying different things. I don't hate when they do DJ Friday nights and they get really loud with the dance music. That I'm okay with in between innings. But of course, some of these games have gotten watered down because they've shortened the time between innings.
Right.
So these things get a little bit, maybe they've lost some of their luster a little bit other than sing-alongs and things like that.
Let's say that people are in New York for the weekend and they're going to catch one game. Do you recommend a Friday night? You said they have a DJ on Friday nights. Do you recommend a Saturday? Do you guys do night Saturdays or daytime Saturdays?
Saturdays are usually 4.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Or do you recommend a Sunday matinee afternoon game? What if the people have a chance to do one?
I think it depends what else you want to do with your time and who's with you. If you've got young kids, come Sunday afternoon. They generally, though not always, can run the bases after the game. You know, Saturdays are great. Like if you're there and you want to do a lot of stuff in a day, Saturday afternoons are terrific. You can have a morning activity, go do that, grab lunch, go to the ball game, and then go back into the city. And you can either eat dinner at the ballpark and go back into the city and have dinner at 8:30 if that's what you're doing, right? And then have your evening. Like that 4 o'clock game on Friday is terrific for somebody who's visiting town. So it really depends on what you're trying to do with your time and how much time you have and how much time you want to maximize it. Friday night, everybody's wearing black, you know, is the black uniform night. So, you know, if that's your thing, and the DJ night. So it does feel a little party. Sometimes they have the fireworks nights, they have 4 or 5 of those during the year. So again, it's kind of what is your thing and are you using New York to go see the ballpark? In which case, maybe Saturday's great because you can be there for a couple hours before. And if K-Corner's open, you can go there after. Or are you just like, this is part of a whole thing. And even Saturday nights are great there too, because again, you can have go see a museum, go see whatever you want to during the day, 2 o'clock in on the train, go out to the ballpark for first pitch. And then, you know, 7:30, go hit the nightlife when the game's over.
That's great. Yeah, that's always... Yeah, I've noticed that when we get into like some bigger cities, it really has to do with what else are you doing with your time there and planning around that. Some people are like, hey, you know what? Friday nights are just so much fun. But yeah, in New York, it's kind of about what you're going to put in and what you're going to fit into other.
Yeah, and I don't want to forget about the Yankee Stadium, right? You were asking about that. Yankee Stadium is like, seems very corporate. It's very much about what's on the field. Right. They have the history stuff. They have Monument Park. They have their museum. I haven't been to the baseball game there in a while, but a Yankees game there in a while, I should say. But it's very much about what's on the field. They're very much focused on that. And they don't want people walking around doing ancillary stuff. So that sometimes makes people feel like it's corporate. And it is. But that's the story.
It's just a different feel. Final question. What is your favorite thing about Citi Field? Is there a favorite place or a favorite aspect when it opened up? You're like, wow, I love this part of this new ballpark.
It was center field. right? It was enough to feel like, granted, I was 15 years younger, but it was like it felt like a carnival a little bit. And I loved that. And that's why I was so sad they changed it up a little bit. But like you could go there, feel like a kid again, bring your kids, have them feel like kids. If you want to do the upper crust thing, you can set that up if you wish. But again, it's about, and that was the thing, right? It has so many varied experiences and varied, right? It creates so many varied experiences depending on how much you want to spend and do, right? If you just want to go see a day at the ballpark, go get a seat upstairs for $10 and, you'll have a little fun. You want to do some different things, you can create that experience for yourself. There's still something always about taking the train and showing up at the ballpark and seeing the cars in the parking lot. And, even coming off the train, there's sometimes some fun stuff out there. They used to do that on Sundays more. I've been going to fewer Sunday games, so I can't say they have it, but there's always some stuff out there coming off the train. It's really the best way to come in. The giveaways have gotten great in many ways. They've really responded to people that way. And they're always trying to improve. So yeah, just showing up, just taking that train in has been great. And it's just like you're in for fun, you're in for a ball game, you're in for a day.
Russell, thank you so much for talking with us and telling me all about Citi Field. I am excited to share this with everyone else so that they can plan their trips into New York.
Jacob, thank you for having me.
All right, this is the part of the show where we usually talk about each city and how it rates as a ballpark road trip in city. I have a bunch of different categories that I rate the cities in. We did this already with New York. If you listen to the Yankee Stadium episode, you can hear that. But, to recap, we talked about different baseball sites like the Jackie Robinson Museum and the old Polo Ground site and the old Ebbets Field site. But you can also go to see other baseball teams in New York. You can go to see a Brooklyn Cyclones game out at Coney Island. You can take the Staten Island Ferry and go see what are the former Staten Island Yankees, now the Ferry Hawks of the Atlantic League. You can go see them play at a nice ballpark right on the other side of the Staten Island Ferry ride. So there's more ballpark opportunities. We talked about food. We talked about going to Katz's for some pastrami and or corned beef. But, I'm going to give you a food suggestion that I never thought I would be giving you. And that's Mexican food in New York City. And not just Mexican food in New York City, Mexican food in Times Square. So if you are going to a Broadway show or you're in Times Square for some reason, I don't know why you would want to be in Times Square if you're not going to a Broadway show, because Times Square is a place that you don't really want to hang out in New York. Maybe you do if it's your first time, but I really think that's just a big waste. But I end up having to go there all the time because I go to see a lot of Broadway shows when I'm in town, which I will talk about in a moment. But as I was saying, if you're in Times Square, go to Los Tacos Number 1 on 43rd Street. Now, they have a Los Tacos Number 1 also in the Chelsea Market Street. But like I said, I go to Broadway shows, and beforehand, I like to get a quick bite to eat. And I discovered Los Tacos Number 1. I can't believe I'm mentioning this, because when I lived in New York in 2003, you could not find good Mexican food. I went to a taqueria, and it was literally a Chinese couple cooking up all my ingredients in a wok and then pouring it into a tortilla and then wrapping it up. And that was my burrito. But this is great. These are great tacos. The chefs are from Tijuana or Ensenada, somewhere in Baja California, and they've opened up these taco stands or taco restaurants in New York, and they're fantastic. So check that out. Speaking of Broadway, if you want to go see a Broadway show, I recommend that you check out what the rush policy is for each show. A lot of shows will offer rush tickets the day of, and what I do is I will go down in the morning around 10 o'clock when the box office opens and try to buy rush tickets. Now, for some shows that works, and I can get cheaper tickets, maybe like $50 or $60. But sometimes if the show is really popular, they may have a different kind of rush situation. They may have a lottery, or they may have something where you come by 2 hours before the showtime to try to get your tickets. But that is a great way to see a show for cheap. I remember back in 2003, I saw a show with Al Pacino, Marissa Tomei, Diane Wiest, and we were in the front row because the front row is sometimes considered bad seats because you're looking like straight up, you know, like at a movie theater, the front row is not the best place to watch. So we were in the front row for Al Pacino, and it was fantastic, and we paid $25 for that. More recently, I've done rush tickets where I've paid about $40 or $50 for tickets, and I'm somewhere in the theater where they haven't sold seats yet. So not a bad situation there. What I would recommend, though, is that you research what the rush policies are for each show. So what you can do is you can just Google Broadway rush ticket policies. And usually I would probably go with Playbill.com. Playbill.com has the most up-to-date, and they will tell you what the policies are for whatever show you want to go to. So yeah, there's that. My final recommendation doesn't really have to do with being a ballpark road trip in city. It has more to do with where to stay when you come to New York. I'm going to recommend Long Island City. That is in Queens, and this is the reason why I'm going to recommend it. First, you can fly into JFK, you can fly into Newark, you can fly into LaGuardia. I have been flying into LaGuardia recently, which is not too far to Long Island City. So your taxi ride or Uber ride from the airport to Long Island City is not going to be too expensive there and back. Number two, if you look at a map, Long Island City in Queens is right across from Midtown and pretty much right across from the bottom of Central Park. So if you take the subway across the Queensboro Bridge and into the city, it is about 20 minutes from where you are to Times Square, to Central Park, maybe about 10 minutes to the Green Line that can transfer up to a Yankees game if you're going there. That is a lot easier than if you're down in Brooklyn or if you are in downtown or the financial district. So I also want to say that hotels are a little cheaper over there, and if you stay in a hotel right over there, you are walking distance from the 7 line, which gets you out to the Mets game at Citi Field. So Long Island City, I'm going to give that a shout out because I have stayed there the past 2 times that I have come to New York, and I have really enjoyed my time there. Very easy. Of course, I lived in Astoria for a year in 2003, so I'm used to that Queens commute, but it's really quick, so I'm going to give you that as a recommendation. To end the show, it's time for Jake's favorite feature. So my favorite feature of Citi Field, well, I think it's going to have to be the Big Apple. Whether it's the Apple outside or the Apple that's now inside, I really love that old tradition. I loved going up to the outside of Citi Field and seeing that original Apple from Shea Stadium. That's such a fun New York thing, and I'm glad they've continued that tradition over at Citi Field. Well, folks, that ends our time in New York City. Next week, we are continuing with our mini East Coast road trip and heading down to Washington, D.C. I hope you'll join us for that. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, I hope you'll join us for that. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.